It's not true that there's no such thing as an old skateboarder. It is true that there's no such thing as an old skateboarder who hasn't broken a lot of bones. Some of the younger ones are seriously banged up as well. Those are two of the things I learned from Cole Lewison's new book, The Impossible, subtitled Rodney Mullen, Ryan Scheckler, and the Fantastic History of Skateboarding. As the X Games are currently in progress in Los Angeles, it seems appropriate for Cole Lewison to join me now from WXXI in Rochester, New York, which he does. Welcome to Only a Game.
Thanks very much.
I'm going to start with a statistic that I found in a footnote on page 84 of your book. It says that somebody named Danny Way once rode a skateboard at 74.5 miles an hour. Is that a typo?
It's not. Danny's a breaker of skate records. He jumped the wall, Great Wall of China, on his skateboard, and he did, and decided he wanted to be the person who'd been the fastest on a skateboard. So he put on sort of this, like, Evel Knievel-looking suit and built a special board basically out of, like, airplane parts, and then they built him this special little weird car that had a thing sticking out of it that he held on to.
So it was with motorized assistance.
Yes, it was.
In chronicling the history of skateboarding, you found that the sport, and I'm quoting again now, is full of neglected, abused, manic, and unnurtured people. Why is that?
That's a very good question. And it sounds sort of negative, and it's really not. It does attract people who I guess sort of don't fit in to other sports or maybe art forms or are a little more solitary. Rodney Mullen, who I focused on, had said that to me in one of our interviews. He said, I always felt like an outsider, but what skater doesn't feel like an outsider? And that's the beauty of skating, is it's a collection of people who don't belong in collections.
One of the distinctions of skateboarding is that some of the sport's greatest competitors have accepted sponsorships when they were exceptionally young, like 10 or 11. How did that become the accepted pattern in skateboarding?
I think it's similar, like the kind of the closest thing that I could find to it was not really in other sports. It was in almost like now and then you find a kid who has some deep hard wiring to play music. Or, you know, is maybe, like, really good at math. The other guy in the book, Ryan Scheckler, he was 2 years old when his parents said he found the skateboard in the garage, and he was obsessed. That's all he wanted to do all the time. And Rodney, the older guy, when he first saw Scheckler skate, he said, yeah, it's just hardwired. He has it in a Mozart way, where it's a natural thing, and Ryan and then his other kind of contemporary, Nigel Houston, were both like that. And Ryan has this thing where he's always been really competitive. He wanted to enter contests. His parents finally let him enter one when he was 7 years old, and he won. And he just kept skating. He entered his first pro contest when he was 10 years old and won that.
So I'm a little bit surprised by that answer because I expected you to say, well, you know, normal people, by the time they get to be about, oh, I don't know, 16 or 17, look around and say, holy cow, what am I doing risking my life with this?
I don't know. It's really hard when it's taken away from them. Ryan, a couple of years ago, he was winning contests with this full arm black brace. He would be out there skating because he had broke his arm yet again, but just wanted to keep competing. The risks and the pain and the injuries they're worth it for, I guess, what these guys take out of it.
One of the complaints that I've heard about the sport is that the companies that sponsor the athletes demand ever more spectacular and dangerous tricks, which result in ever more serious injuries. Is that a fair criticism of skateboarding?
Yeah, I think it is fair, especially because it's in that category of extreme sports. You know, that's what made Tony Hawk a superstar back in 1995 when he was, you know, first on ESPN and was at a real low point in his life. Visually, I mean, he was just so stunning. He was 20 feet up in the air, upside down with, you know, 1 foot on his skateboard. And that just draws people in. And so skaters like Danny Way, who holds the speed record, they want to keep pushing. Ryan Scheckler is not a ramp guy, but he does things like skate off a two-story balcony, which is why he's broken his elbow 10 times. So I think there's definitely a momentum towards more extreme, bigger, better, and also more dangerous, because that's also more captivating.
As I was reading your book, I often came across a sentence like, "You should see this guy skate," or something to that effect. And often the book refers to specific videos or websites where you can find the tricks of Ryan Scheckler and others. What led you to write a book about something that perhaps can only be fully appreciated when we see it rather than read about it?
Well, I don't know. I guess skateboarding is something I already knew a lot about and liked a lot and had done as a kid, and I still cruise around. Part of it was, to me, skating is very beautiful. It's a very hard athletic thing, hence all the broken bones, but it's also an incredibly graceful thing that's all about balance and movement. And just to see things like Rodney does a trick in the book, he's the only one in the world who can do it, called a switch stance kickflip 1 foot nose.
I'm sorry, man, that is a great name.
Yeah, that was kind of the challenge, was I would like to tell people about this interesting thing that's also, you know, it's uniquely American. It's only 50 years old, but it makes almost as much money as the NFL. And it's very beautiful, and trying to break down these movements so people could see it frame by frame and maybe have a greater understanding of, you know, the beauty and the danger and the intensity of it all.
Cole Lewison is the author of The Impossible, Rodney Mullen, Ryan Scheckler, and the Fantastic History of Skateboarding. It's published by Lions Press, and Cole Lewison spoke to me from WXXI in Rochester, New York. Cole, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Try the impossible. Try to understand the way I feel about you. Try the incredible. For in trying.
You're listening to Only a Game.